Last week we began a series called I Don't Want to Move. And I appreciated Glenn's prayer this morning because he talked about two of the things that I was going to talk about today in our service. One is that each and every one of us live in this world. And this world has its grips on us in many, many ways. And this world knows what attracts us to this world. And for each of us, it's different, but it still has all those elements that kind of draw us back into the world. And in John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, John says, "Do not love the world, nor the things in the world." In Ephesians 4, which Glenn was mentioning in his prayer too, in Ephesians 4, verse 25, it talks about being made into the image of God in all righteousness and holiness. And this is a place where all of us want to be, and we don't want to move from here. We've got the world over there that's pulling us, and Satan has his schemes, and he keeps drawing us back into this, and yet we're trying to move forward to stay in this place of true righteousness and holiness with God. Now, here's one thing we all know. I can be in the world, but not of the world. And that's what Jesus said. You be in the world, but not of the world. But that's difficult, isn't it? It's difficult because there are these obstacles. There's all these things that get in our way. And yet where I want to be is I don't want to move from this place. I don't want to move from here. And so when I dwell with God, one of the things that happens is I take Him. He goes with me because He abides in me. He goes with me wherever I go. I just have to take Him with me back into here. I'm not of the world. I'm not going to be a part of this. I'm going to be different than everybody else. I want to be in His presence. Last week, what we did is we did a little time of silence. For this whole series, one of the things I want us to do is I want us to really kind of experience the presence of God in this place. And so we're going to do that again. And every time that we do this series, which I don't know exactly how long it'll be, but when we do that, I'd like for us to just take some time just to dwell in the presence of God. Just to sit for a moment. How many of us actually sit and are still and actually just abide in the presence of God? Many of us are so busy. We're going from here to there, from here to there. We're going from this place to that place. And once we sit down, we're never really still, are we? We've got our phone, we've got something in front of us, we've got a laptop, we've got something that we're doing, we got reading, and we're never really still. So this morning we're going to do like we did last week. If you would, close your eyes, and let's spend some time in just being with God, because He is here, He is among us this morning. And I'm going to read some scriptures as we go through this quiet time. And then Nathan's going to sing the song that we learned last week, and we'll sing it all together. Let's take some time to be with God. I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that He has granted me in the great goodness that he has granted me according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For God alone, O my soul, I wait in silence, for my hope is from you. You only are my rock and my salvation, my fortress. I shall not be shaken. On God rests my salvation and my glory. My mighty rock, my refuge is God. Trust in him at all times. O people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have looked upon you, in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory, because your steadfast love is better than life. My lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. In your name I will lift up my hands. Lord, as we have paused for this moment of time to be alone with you, I pray that we will stretch these times in our own homes each and every day, that we will make them longer and spend more time abiding in your presence, listening to your words, hearing a message from your voice, as sheep following your voice. Be with us today as we continue our study. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.
I don't want to move from this holy, holy place. For too many times I've resisted your grace. I don't want to move from your sweet
things I did is I gave you some homework, and the homework was, what one obstacle could you get rid of to help you move closer to having that abiding place with God? Because as you know, and as I know, that every single one of us, we're always pulled by something. There's always something bringing us back to this fleshly nature, this place where the world is. And it's easy to be in here. It's easy to think that this is where we ought to be. It's tangible. We can get our hands on it. We can live in it. It's just all around us. It just seems like this is almost all-consuming in many, many ways. And yet this is the place where we need to be with God and abiding in Him. And how do you do that, though? How do you do that in here? When there's so many obstacles to our way. And you see that verse on the screen. It said, build up, prepare the way, remove every obstruction from my people's way. Remove every obstruction from my people's way. And I think about that. And what are the obstacles in dwelling in His holy place? What are those obstacles? And remember, we read this verse last week. For thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with him who is of a contrite and lowly spirit. To revive the spirit of the lowly, to revive the heart of the contrite. And the question is, who is to remove the obstructions from the people? Whose responsibility is it to remove the obstructions from the people? A large part of that in the Old Testament fell back on those elders, those shepherds who were shepherding those people. It was given to them to actually make that happen, to remove those obstructions, because they were placing things in the way so that people could not dwell with God. They could not abide with Him. In fact, it got so bad that in Ezekiel, you see these words: should not shepherds feed the sheep? Should not shepherds feed the sheep? It's God speaking. And the answer is what? Yes, they should feed the sheep. In Psalm chapter 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down by green pastures. He leads me to quiet or still waters. As I was thinking about that, I was thinking about, okay, so here's this shepherd. The Lord is our shepherd. And what is He doing? He's leading us to these green pastures. He's leading us to this quiet water, to these feeding places, to this living water, if you wanted to look at this as if Jesus, and He's leading us to the bread of life. And here you have this shepherd who is leading. Now, let me ask you something. When that shepherd is leading all of those sheep, are there obstacles in his way to get to where he needs to go? Absolutely. As a sheep is taking his sheep and finding that place that has that grass, finding that place that has that water, there are obstacles in his way. And that shepherd, the good shepherd, the Lord is our shepherd, He's the one that's removing them and taking them out of our pathway so that we can move toward that which gives us life and sustains us. And if you think of that in the spiritual sense, if Jesus is the bread of life, if Jesus is that living water, we feed on His word. We feed on Him. And that's where He's leading us. And that's what happens to us. Because the world is here, and what happens is that we are all these obstructions getting in the way of being with whom? Of being with Jesus. Of remaining with Him. Abiding in His Word. And being with Him. I want to let you know something, that our elders, who are your shepherds, care very, very much about every one of your souls. They also love you very, very much. And they, more than anything else, want their sheep to find good pasture and to find that living water. They want you to grow up and to into mature Christian adults. That's what they want. So that you look like Christ. That's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verses 24 and 25. And in 25 where he said, it is enough for the student to be like his teacher. It is enough for the servant to be like the master. It's enough for us to look like Christ. And your shepherds care deeply, deeply about your journey of faith. Now here's what I know. In an audience this size, in many of our group gone, this journey from where you are to where you need to be is difficult. It's not easy. This journey that we're all on to be into the likeness of Christ looks different for every single person. In fact, one of the things that I think is important is this. If I knew how you grew up, if I knew what your parents were like, if I knew all of this and everything like that, and you say, "But I'm not there yet," I would probably do exactly as you did. And one of the things that I think our shepherds spend a lot of time with is just with you, learning your stories. They love to hear from you. They love to hear about your life. Because, and this you can write this down, the seriousness of shepherd, of sheep care is serious. Listen to this from that same passage in Ezekiel 34. The weak, and this is where God is saying to these shepherds who haven't been shepherding, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. For a shepherd of a flock, for the shepherds of this flock, they care deeply about you. They want to strengthen you. They want to help heal you. They want to help bring you back. They want to help those who are lost. That is deep inside of them. They want you to grow, to look like Christ. They feel a sense of responsibility on their shoulders about this. I'm with your shepherds every single Sunday morning at 8 o'clock. And during those times, we're praying. Much of that time is spent in prayer for you. I get to hear their hearts. I get to hear their love for you, their connection that they have for you. I get to hear that. And I'm telling you, they take your spiritual maturity in Christ seriously. And you think about the seriousness of strong leadership. Listen to this verse in verses 5 and 6. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. They became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. With none to search or seek for them. And I think about Jesus when he's doing that prayer in the garden and he's praying in John chapter 17 when he says, not one of these are going to be lost. I didn't lose one of these except that one. I didn't lose any one that you gave me. And that's the cry of the heart of our elders. They don't want to lose anyone. They don't want to lose you. They want you. And they understand that this is difficult. And their job is to remove the obstructions so that Jesus can actually come into your life and change you. Because we don't do the changing. The Spirit of God and Jesus does the changing in us. It's the Word of God that changes us. It's not our shepherds. But you see on either side of me, you see our banners. That's the mission statement that is here for Lycoma. Love God, serve others, and what? Make disciples. You know what the hardest one to do is? Make disciples. Because all of us have a tendency to love God. We do. We love God. We serve others. We're going to have about 50 or 60 out at the firefighters celebration, freedom celebration on Saturday. We serve others. We serve those in our congregation. We serve others in this community. But making disciples, a call that's just not for us and not for just for our shepherds, it's for every single one of us who are supposed to step into that and actually learn how to do that and do that. Helping people on their journey of faith, helping people to mature, helping people so that they will abide in Christ. That's something that all of us must do. And here's something that's sobering, though. Very sobering. So listen up. Each sheep will stand before God and give an account of their lives. And the excuse, well, it was the shepherds, they didn't take care of me, is not going to fly. Because you give an account of your life in the deeds that you have done. Look at Matthew 16, verse 27. And you see Jesus seeing there that I'm going to reward those people according to what they have done. There's a seriousness about the commitment that we have given to Jesus Christ ourselves. This is a commitment that we have said, I am going to serve Jesus Christ. I'm going to make Him Lord of my life. And if you have been baptized into Jesus Christ, if you've repented of your sins, if you've been raised into that, you have said, God, I'm making you, your son, Lord of my life. I want to look like Him. I want to be like Him. I want to be surrounded by His presence and have His presence in my life every single day. I want to be like my Master. I want to be like my Teacher, it is enough for me to look like Him. Help me get there, God. Help me get there. People in this life, it is very easy for this world to take over and take control, where we think that coming to church on a Sunday is about all we need to do to keep our lives in a right relationship with God. Well, if I just show up. But God wants you to put on the garment and leave it on all the time. Wherever you are, you make disciples by the way you live at work. You make disciples by the way you live at school. You make disciples by the way you interact with your friends. You make disciples because you haven't taken off the garment. And we talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago, about the parable of the guy who took off his garment that was given to him, and he had no excuses. He had no excuses. There's a seriousness of commitment. If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Follow me. Our job is to follow Jesus Christ more than anything else. There's no one here that wants to lose anyone. We want everyone to come to know Jesus Christ and to be saved. That's what Jesus said when he said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Learn from me, and I'll be with you. I'll be with you to the end of the age." I end with this verse in Luke 14. "For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.'" I pray, and our elders pray, every single day, that you will finish the race. That you will finish the race. That you will run the race with perseverance. That you become like Christ. Dwell in him. Make it a part of your life, your daily life. Not something you throw on and take off and go, "Oh, well, I need Jesus now. Let me put him back on." No, keep him on. Keep that garment on. For all who were baptized into Christ were clothed with Christ. That's what Galatians 3 says. So if you're here this morning and you'd like to clothe yourself with Christ and put him on in baptism, then do that today. See, I want to make him my Savior. Repent of your sins, confess your faith, and be baptized. If you need the prayers of this church, our shepherds are at the back, willing to pray for you at any time. If we can help you in any way, would you come as together we stand and sing?